Hey, drama listeners. Dylan here with a quick message before we jump into this episode with Kyle Selig. He is so amazing, dreamy, on stage and off. And of course, you remember him from Mean Girls, where he played Aaron Samuels on Broadway. He did Water for Elephants last year. And now he's currently the most swoon-worthy tenor in Old Friends, Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends, over with Manhattan Theater Club. We cover all of that in this podcast. And we had the best time together. When the conversation ended, I literally thought to myself, that is everything drama should be. Just it feels like a normal, wonderful conversation with someone. And it's crazy that next week, if you're listening to this on May 28th or the week of May 28th, 2025, we're going to be hitting our 300th episode of drama, which is absolutely cuckoo bananas. We have a huge guest that we're going to be celebrating this milestone episode with to help us keep going for another 300 episodes. We would love if you checked out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/thedramapodcast. We fondly call it Drama Plus because you're getting Drama Plus so much more. There's twin talks with Connor and I. It's just the two of us. You know, Tony's season is upon us. We're giving our unfiltered predictions there, commentary just on everything, as well as you'll also get added to our Instagram close friends, which, you know, as the Patreon has continued to grow and more people have been a part of the close friends, I'm starting to worry that it's too much, too much insanity. But we're going to keep doing it until we can't do it anymore. Let's put it that way. Anyways, it's $5 a month, which in the grand scheme of things, girl, the tariffs, you know, not that much, but it helps Connor and I in a major way. Thank you so much for listening, supporting. Obviously, you're listening to this episode because you love Kyle, and you're going to have to check out the episode we did with his wife, Erica Henningsen, from a few years ago. I think it was like fall 2021. All right, enough of me. Get ready for episode 300 next week. But before that, have such a great time listening to Drama with Kyle Selig.
Press play, curtain up an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
I am Dylan McDowell.
Wait, I always say it like that. I go, love. Why don't I just say love?
I don't know.
Remember when it used to have, wait, what was the old intro?
It was theater, pop culture, love, and life in New York City, but then that changed.
That was pre-pandemic. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dylan, I'm so excited. I feel like summer, it feels like summer is really finally here.
100%.
Especially because
agree.
There's like summer movies coming out. And I know you went to go see this twice, but
yeah,
I'm obsessed with Thunderbolts. It was so good.
I can't believe I went to the cinema twice to see it. There's so many movies out there to see. Well, I went by myself. I loved it so much that I said to Hunter, I was like, if you wanted to go, I would go again.
Yeah.
And so I did literally 2 days later. And I've got to tell you, wasn't bored.
That's great. It kind of hit different. I've been like so whatever about Marvel movies lately. And it was so fun. I was even giggling at, you know, the David Harbour character.
I know. I didn't think I would laugh at the Red Guardian character. I thought that it would kind of get old.
Yeah.
He's sort of like the, is it Drax or Thrax, whatever that character was from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. He is kind of like that similar type.
But I did chuckle.
I giggled. I found it to be so entertaining. Oh, my God.
And of course, your queen, Miss Flo.
I know. Dominated. I love her. She's great.
Master of accents. You can't take your eyes off of her.
She was great. I also loved the guy who played Bob, Lewis Pullman. I'm obsessed.
I know. And you told me that Lessons in Chemistry is really good. I feel like I missed it when that was like had its moment.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Okay, well.
To quote Lisa Rinna, it was good. It was good.
All right.
No, it's a lot sadder than you think it's going to be, which is, I think, why I always tell people, I'm like, it's not like this pleasant miniseries, but it's really great.
Fair.
Brie Larson
Well,
delivers.
I'm in the mood for like fun summer blockbuster bangers. Like I was sitting there during Thunderbolts beforehand, seeing all the trailers for what's coming out this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to be a lit summer of movies. The new Jurassic Park movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Mission Impossible, which you and I watched all of those during the pandemic. So I guess I have to like keep
the
watching
last
that.
one.
Yeah. And then the one I'm most excited for is the I Know What You Did Last Summer, like reboot.
Keep forgetting that that's coming out.
I know. When Freddie Prinze Jr. appeared, the crowd did go
I
wild.
Feel like that's going to be great. But no, I'm excited for Fantastic Four, which I didn't realize the plot was about like a child is coming, but I'm still in for it. I'm still in for that. I think it's going to be good. Another Marvel, I guess. Anyway, Dylan, there's another event this summer that people have got to go see that we're obsessed with.
And it's kind of like a Marvel Cinematic Universe experience. We have all these stars coming together to perform from some beloved IP. And cannot wait to talk to our guest today. The vibes are already wonderful. We've wanted him on this podcast for years.
And we told him this as such.
Yeah. The moment's right. So I'm going to read our intro and bring him in.
Yeah. And then we'll gush to his face so he can actually respond in real time.
I know. Okay. All right, y'all. Our guest today is an absolute star currently appearing in Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends on Broadway alongside Bernadette Peters, Lea Salonga, and Beth Level. He's perhaps best known for originating the role of Aaron Samuels in Mean Girls, the musical, as well as for starring on Broadway and across the country as Elder Price in the Book of Mormon. Last year, he led the cast of Water for Elephants on Broadway, coming home after spending some time on our television screens. You'll recognize him from Monster High, Welcome to Fletch, FBI International, Cat Person, Mulligan, The Housewives of the North Pole, Christmas in Tahoe, Madam Secretary, and Evil. On stage, he's also appeared in October Sky at the Old Globe, Joan of Arc Into the Fire by David Byrne, and West Side Story at the Hollywood Bowl. He's an OG winner of the Jimmy Awards and a proud graduate of Carnegie Mellon School of Drama. His solo album, Careful Days, is available to stream, and he's the author and illustrator of two children's books titled Lennox Goes to New York City and The Greatest Story Ever Told. But for now, you can hear him belting out Sondheim tunes at the Friedman Theater through June 29th only. Please welcome to drama,
Kyle Seelig.
Guys, that was so sweet. Thank you for having me. Thank you for that lovely intro. And thank you for making me painfully aware of how many movies I have yet to see. I'm very aware that I'm so behind.
Are you a Marvel guy, though?
You know what? You sort of mentioned it, but I was, and then I think I fell off a little bit. I think when it moved to TV, I got a little lost in the sauce.
Fair.
I did watch, what was the one with the Olsen lady? WandaVision.
Yeah, I was good.
I think that's like the last one that I watched.
It was lit.
This would be a good place to pick up if you wanted to check out Thunderbolts.
Yeah. You think I'll be able to step in? Will I have missed too much? Or
yes,
do you think
no.
I'll just get it?
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be
all right,
so
great.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Sink or swim. It'll be fine. I'll just pull the cord. It'll be great.
Absolutely. Kyle, we adore you. We had so much fun seeing you in Old Friends a couple of weeks ago. I have to say, I cried like a baby. Like, there should be like a tissue dispersal that occurs at that show.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Just right in front of your seat.
Yeah.
Like one of those 3D movies. It's like, you're going to need this. That's very funny. Lots of people have been having that reaction, which is, I mean, so sweet and such an indication of how much Stephen Sondheim meant to everybody. It's funny, though, because I think about the things that I do in the show, and it's like, at one point, I'm dressed as a maid, and I'm, like, running around, and I'm chewing the scenery, and I'm singing Agony, all of which I consider to be very funny things. So it's always funny for people to say that they're crying during the show. I'm like, I don't think you're crying at my stuff, but probably Bernadette and Leia.
When you do your West Side Story moment, that I think gives full body chills for sure.
Oh, that's so kind. That moment specifically is like just ghosty. It's just so wonderful. You know, he wrote the lyrics for that. That's like his first gig or something. Yeah. And like, can you imagine your first gig is writing the lyrics to Tonight? Like, wow.
That is crazy.
Didn't he apparently hate his lyrics for Maria or something like that? Like he wasn't pleased with them. I feel like I read that in one of the many, many books about Sondheim.
There's a lot of stories about him just being really displeased with his own work generally, which is of course like probably an indication that he was a genius.
Okay, so me being insecure about my podcast performance is an indication that I'm a genius?
That's absolutely correct. That's what I was trying to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
For instance, the one and only time that I met him, Eric and I actually both, that's Erica Henningsen, by the way. Erica and I both were doing this concert of Saturday Night at Second Stage.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was going to attend. He showed up. We all kind of freaked out. And he came backstage. And Saturday Night is what he considers to be like his first musical that he ever did. And he was so, not judgmental of us, but judgmental of like, he literally, the quote was like, I feel like it's like looking at your baby photos. And I was like, oh, there's stuff he wants to like change about this.
Yeah. He was constantly revising though. Like, I know that Into the Woods had a lot of different songs and lots of lyrics changed in the last minute throughout the years. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah. That the most recent Sweeney Todd, things changed in there too. So I think that's very cool that even if you are amazing, like Stephen Sondheim, it's the work is never quite done.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wait, I remember when you and Erica did that Saturday Night. Was it a one night only?
It was literally at music stands. It was a one night only thing. Like I said, we didn't know he was coming because we were like, well, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Surprise. He was on time there.
Oh my God.
Is that the only time you and Erica have played opposite each other other than Mean Girls?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no. Okay. I don't know if you count this like playing opposite each other, but for a very, very brief moment on Girls 5 Eva, she and I have a scene together where it's like a flashback. We're like presenting an award and I pick her up like a trophy.
Yes.
And I think it's supposed to be as rude as it seems.
Yeah.
We got those three. I feel like that's probably it for us.
For now. For now.
I meant to go back and listen to our episode with her before chatting with you because I know I asked her how you two met and your whole love story and stuff. So I might just have to get it from you with fresh eyes at some point during our chat today.
Happily. Well, actually, let me dive in on that. There is something I listened to it also in preparation for this. Yes. And by the way, it's a wonderful episode.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
She's charming. I think she's going places.
Yeah. Oh my God. She's everything.
However, I do have to correct one thing she said. I know, drama.
So that's the drama.
She said that our first date was on December 9th or 8th. And it was on December 10th.
Oh, my God.
Other than that, everything she said was very, very factual.
So. Was it a date? I'm trying to remember now. Was it a date that, like, maybe it crossed over past midnight? So maybe she was just...
Interesting question. I'll have to check
like
the
a
log.
Late night.
I'm not sure. No, it was this very, very sweet moment that we had where we had, like, definitely been, like, talking and vibes were there and stuff when we were out of town in D.C. doing Mean Girls. But that was like, you know, we've all been there. It's summer camp. And you're like, this isn't real life. I don't know who it was that had the foresight. Probably her. Maybe me. Not sure. Somebody had the foresight to be like, hey, let's see if this is still something we're excited about when we get back to New York and it's real life and we're living in our apartments and among our things and our friends. And let's have our first date when we get back to New York. And that was that December 10th evening.
Oh, cute.
And we went to go see Coco, which reminds me. Sorry, this is sprawling.
Love it.
We also get a new Pixar movie this summer.
Oh, we do?
Elio, which has been like coming for years and years.
You're right.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's going to be so good.
My millennial is showing, but I'm very excited.
No,
Pixar
I love
movies.
Pixar.
I love we're it. Like the same age. I was trying in my head to be like, because if you won the Jimmy Awards in 2010, were you a junior or a senior?
I was a senior.
You're a senior. Okay, so we're just 2 years below you then. Okay.
Oh, great.
Okay. So we have like same references.
That's the same age. Hey, when you're after 30.
I know.
We're all 30.
Exactly. We are. Oh my God. Wait, okay, so if memory serves, weren't you and Erica like kind of like falling for each other at the out of town, but no one knew about it? It was like a secret romance thing.
That's so funny. It's funny that Erica would say that or if that's what sticks in your head because I think she... And I were very convinced that nobody knew about it. And then I think in the end, kind of everybody knew about it. Or maybe knew before we even did. I remember a distinct moment of like, I think I was with like Ben Cook and Kevin Solak. And I was like, you guys, I gotta tell you something. And I like told them. And they're like, yeah, dude, we know. I was like, oh. Oh, that obvious, huh?
Do you think Casey Nicholon knew?
I don't know. Yes, I think he knew at one point. I think Tina knew like immediately. She's just... perceptive.
Yeah.
Famously, and he might have been pretending, but I don't know. Famously, Jeff Richmond didn't know until like a year into the run or something on Broadway. But I think maybe he was just doing a joke. It's hard to know. It sounds like a joke he'd make. And it's pretty good. I gotta be honest. It's a good
That's
joke.
Good.
When I was like scrolling through your Instagram in preparation for this, I noticed that your wedding anniversary is coming up.
Oh.
It is. It's literally next week.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So how many years of marriage?
That's gonna be year two.
Okay. So. What is that anniversary? You know, like 1 year's like the paper anniversary.
You know, funny enough, I know the answer to that because it's coming up and I'm not trying to get divorced. Last year it was paper and this year it's cotton.
Okay.
So
do you need new Q-tips or something?
No, I'm open to suggestions because it's really, this is a tricky one.
Maybe like a pillow.
Sheets are like the obvious, like, you know, get some nice sheets. You can always use nice sheets, but I don't know. It feels kind of like boring or expected.
How was your wedding?
Oh my gosh. Best party I've ever been to. And like, it's very funny. Erica and I, weddings are so funny. Are either of you married?
I'm getting married in February.
Oh my God. How are you?
Great. We're in like the planning phase right now.
Okay. Okay. We'll compare notes.
Yeah.
So our experience, I mean, it's wild. You're like, no matter how early you start planning, it seems to me like everything happens in the last like 2 months. You're like, we have to plan everything. So we definitely had that. But part of that makes the wedding so fun because it's such a big release of like planning and logistics and drama and stress. And then all of a sudden you just get to like see all your friends and family and talk to everyone you've ever met before. So it's really nice. Our wedding was amazing. We did it at the Bowery Hotel. They have an event space up there.
That's so cool.
So like big, big long table, food, all of our friends. Weddings are so funny though, because it's like you've never been to a party where every single person only wants to speak to you, but is also being so tender about not taking too much of your time. They're like, hi, I'm going to get you for this moment. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, okay, cool. Next.
Yeah. And the conversation is probably the same with every single person. You know, they all ask the same
question. How are you doing? Are you taking this in? It's like, yes. Yeah.
Aww. And Gray Henson officiated, right?
Yes, Gray Henson was our officiate. So Gray and I go way back to even before Mean Girls. We went to school together. He's two years ahead of me. And then we graduated and did the Book of Mormon together on Broadway. And then we did Mean Girls and shared a dressing room. So it's actually very funny to do old friends and like Gray Henson is not in the cast. I don't know how to behave.
Oh my God. Which track do you think he would have in Old Friends?
Probably Bernadette's or like he'd cover.
Totally. Oh, that's
did
so
you
fun.
See him play Buddy in Elf?
Yes, because of the schedule I couldn't go to his opening night, which we all were so excited to go to, but I had just started Water for Elephants and we had a show down the street.
That's right.
And so I like the only show I could go to was his very first preview, so I bought a ticket and I went by myself and I just like cried the whole time, because by the way, didn't know that like the performance we all needed was Gray Henson as Buddy the Elf. It took on, it was so correct.
I know.
I was like, nobody can do this like him. It's unbelievable. I loved every second of it.
He ate. They need to do it like every year, I think, and have him come back and just do it like
I think
a
they should.
Tradition. Yeah. He
like
was perfect.
For all time. Like 80-year-old Buddy the Elf. I'm still in. Let's do it.
It would work no matter what.
He's just wheel him out. He's doing Buddy the Elf.
Did you have a best man or like a wedding party at your wedding?
I did. My best man was, his name is Nick Bielak. He is my Canadian best friend. He does exist. He just lives in Winnipeg.
Got it. I believe you.
He and I go way back. Also, we were standbys together in the Book of Mormon, like the whole time. He is my mission companion. We are roommates living up in Harlem all those years. So, yeah, I don't see him much these days, but I love him dearly. Hey, Nick, if you're listening, he's actually killing it. He's opened 3 restaurants in Winnipeg. So,
whoa.
If you're in Winnipeg and listening to this, I don't know if you have listeners in Winnipeg. This is an ad now for Hoagie Boys.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
I love it.
You surrounded yourself with so many cool people and have just like a really cool village around you, it seems.
Thank you. That's maybe the best compliment I've ever had. Yeah, I really have been very, very fortunate with friends and finding like-minded people doing very, very cool and very different things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps it spicy. I like it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of friends, we got old friends.
Oh my gosh, segue. That was great.
Well, and we always check in with our guests. I mean, we're just chit-chatting away, Kyle. But we always like to check in right off the top and ask you, are you well?
Oh, that's so kind. What a good question. I think so. I feel very well these days. I don't know that I can think of a time that has ever been busier, just between Eric and I are both doing Broadway shows at the same time. And we were like, oh, this will be great. We've had a very busy couple of years that involves a lot of travel and a lot of Erica being in this place and me being in this place. Old friends took me to LA for 6 weeks. So we were very excited for this very, very busy time because we're like, oh, we'll be in the same place. And I don't think either of us predicted how busy it was actually going to be and how every moment of the day is spoken for. But it's all really wonderful, wonderful stuff that is filling our days. So I have very little to complain about. Things are great.
That's awesome.
Thanks for asking. Are you well? How are you guys doing?
So good.
Yes. Yeah, we're good. Listen, I started this new job like almost 2 months ago and I finally am feeling like my stress levels have come down a little bit and I'm a little more chill. I'm the kind of guy who needs like, I like to know what's coming in front of me and what my routine is like and things like that. So I'm definitely feeling a lot better and more positive as summer's approaching for sure.
Oh, for sure. And it was a weird winter. Let's be clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're all ready for some summer and also for it to stop raining because
Yeah,
what
I
is
can hear it
happening?
now. Were you guys uptown before, or am I misremembering where you
Yes,
lived?
we were up there for years and years, and then we decided to go give LA a try for a little bit right after that
Right.
writer's strike, just to shake it up and see, like, if we actually enjoyed living in a new place. And we really did. It was really wonderful. And we, in a weird turn of events, rented our apartment to Sarah Gettelfinger, who was starting Water for Elephants.
Yep.
So she was renting our apartment from us. And then we moved back to New York because I got Water for Elephants and I called her. I was like, hey, I have some mail for you that you left, but I will bring it to work because I just got cast in Water for Elephants. And she like freaked out. It was very, very cute.
Oh, that's so funny. Was that like a
Yeah.
long audition process?
The actual audition process was very, very short, but interestingly enough, I went to college with all of the Pigpen Theater Company boys. They were seniors when I was a freshman. So I've known them forever. And when they first started writing the show, I actually went with them down to Florida to go sing the song for a bunch of producers. So like the very first demos had me
Wow.
on
So
them.
did you think they put in a good word?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
Something worked out in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was a matter of timing and making sure it all lined up. And it was very funny. Jessica Stone told me, I was like, oh, it's so funny. It's like great to sing these songs again. She's like, by the way, when I got hired, I was listening to your demos of this thing. So like definitely maybe some familiarity bias helped me out with the audition process
Yeah.
there.
Oh, that's so cool. I remember I was just so excited when I saw that you were cast. Actually, I remember the first time I heard of Pigpen, my favorite SoulCycle instructor when I lived in New York, Jimmy Nicholas, who also went to
Ah,
Carnegie
my
Mellon.
class. Yes.
It's your class? Okay. He played
Yes.
one of their songs during like one of our classes. And afterwards I walked up to him and was like, who was like that was like an amazing song. He's like, they're called Pigpen. They're actually writing. They had written some musical at the time. I forget what it was. It was like an adaptation of something.
They've done a bunch of stuff. By the way, it is the most Carnegie Mellon coded thing I've ever heard to play Pigpen Theater Company at a SoulCycle class. Unbelievable. It's true. We're all just like in the cult. We're all obsessed with Pigpen Theater Company. You were probably listening to The Old Man and the Old Moon. I think I got the title of that right.
That sounds right. That
That
sounds
was their
right.
big, I probably shouldn't be speaking for them, but their like flagship show or like what they kind of made their mark on New York doing. Now they do all kinds of things and they're getting access to cool properties like Water for Elephants and musicalizing them. And very cool
Yeah.
to see everything that they've done. They're just a band also, so they have albums that's completely unlinked to any story and it's just music and it's so good. I'm ready for them to start doing concerts again so that I can go.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, okay. So going back a second to pre-Water for Elephants,
Sure.
what was the LA experience like? Was that your first time living there and trying it out?
So fun fact, I am mostly from there.
Oh, okay.
I grew up about 45 minutes south of there in Huntington Beach. So it's always like I love LA because it's home and I get to see my nieces and nephews and go to the beach and I'm very familiar with the place. Erica had never lived there though, and she was obsessed. She's obsessed with it. She's like, what do you mean? We can just drive 5 minutes and we're like hiking with the dog. She's obsessed with it. She loves it. It was really great. It's surprisingly the thing that everybody says is, there's no theater. It's so not true. There's so much theater and people are just like dying for musicals out there. So we found ourselves very busy in some smaller venues. And like the film and TV thing there is like you don't have to live in New York or LA to be doing film or TV anymore. You can be anywhere. You can be in Ohio,
Yeah.
wherever you want to be, thanks to Zoom and other
Yeah.
things. So it was very fun for us to just spend a little time living in some nice weather and meeting people who do different things. It was very, very productive for that reason.
Were you an Erewhon person?
Erica was. I was like, I can't do this. Are you an Erewhon person or is this?
No, but I'm hearing all about this strawberry. Have you heard about this?
No, what am I missing
There's like
out
this
on?
$20 like strawberry that they sell and everyone tries it online.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts. And then flying to LA to try this
Yeah.
$20 strawberry. Got it.
Well, and
Cool.
also
Exactly.
Hailey Bieber has a smoothie there that
Okay,
people
this
like
I've
to
heard about.
drink.
Yes, yes, yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so was it in Huntington Beach by chance when you had your Ring of Keys moment? That moment we like to associate with you identifying with the arts in some way where you were like, "Oh my God, I need to, make this a part of my life."
Oh man, the Ring of Keys moment is so interesting. I love that question, by the way. Good job. This is fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Wow. Also, it's such a good reference. Fun Home is so good. Eric and I will sing that song every now and then. You're paying out keys.
Her performance on the Tonys was so lit.
I know.
Sydney Lucas.
It's so shameful. It's like, I remember seeing that. I was like, I was like 25 or something. I don't, the math probably won't add up there.
I think you were 25 because I think Dylan, or maybe you were 24, 23, because we were like definitely
in there.
Our college experience.
Yeah.
And wait, yeah. Dylan, it's going to be crazy when one day we have Sydney Lucas on the podcast and we're like, what's your ring of keys?
Yeah. And she's like,
"That'll be.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just hate yeah. That. Yeah. everybody asks me this. Ugh. Well, okay. The one that's coming to mind, I'm sure that there were moments earlier in high school because I was already doing theater by this time, but I had this summer where I, 16, and I spent the entire summer in New York doing the Cap 21 summer intensive. And this was my big plan to get my foot in the door to go to NYU for school. However, the year I got there was the year that Cap 21 was becoming its own program. It was no longer affiliated with NYU. So I was like, I literally showed up and on the first day they like explained that to us. I was like, well, foiled. But still, I had the best summer there, and I learned so much. I had wonderful teachers, and honestly, like, didn't end up going to NYU anyway. So, like, and by the way, I think that was really good for me. I think I would have gotten really distracted, and it was good for me to move to New York slowly or have a stop before that, focus on what I was doing. Sure. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. That summer was the summer Hair was on Broadway, that revival, as well as Next to Normal.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw both upwards of 5 or 6 times each. I was
wow.
Rushing. I was student ticket prices. Any way I could see the show, I was seeing the show. And it was, you know, how I think about it now in retrospect, like what I think was happening was like, I saw Aaron Tveit playing this role. I saw Gavin Creel doing Claude. And I was like, oh, these are directions that I could go in. This is the first time I'm like seeing myself in this environment. You know, how audacious of me to think I could compete with like Gavin Creel and Aaron Tveit. But I was like, oh, those guys are doing something that I would like to do. That seems really cool. And then, you know, cut to me freaking out when I'm in Book of Mormon with Gavin and his understudy and just losing my mind.
That is nuts.
And also realizing that they're both like the kindest dudes in New York City and they're like friends now. It's just wild. I have pinch me moments still. That's my ring of keys. How was that?
Oh, that is so great, Kyle. I just, that summer, that year of theater, like they say, like when you're young, like there's like those musicals that like kind of shape you. And I feel like Connor and I, we visited New York that summer and saw both those shows, like 9 to 5 in the Heights. Like there was like a lot of shows around that time that we had just like Shrek. Like we were just like, ooh, like there's so much cool stuff out there.
Yeah.
That's the power of like seeing Aaron and Gavin. Like that's the whole point of Ring of Keys. You saw yourself in it.
Exactly. And it, you know, this is something we hear a lot, but for our POC friends who talk about how important it is to see themselves on stage, I'm like, yeah, I get that very deeply. It happened for me and it happens for a lot of me, and that should happen for a lot of you also.
Yes.
So like, it's something that we really shouldn't take for granted. Just the ability to see yourself in these environments is so wonderful.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so skipping forward a second then, back to Water for Elephants.
Yes.
What was it like to go back to Broadway? I mean, you were in Mean Girls, and then the pandemic happened, and then like truly years go by.
No.
And then you're in this like very athletic show, this feat of gymnastic. What would you guys have called that? Like all the different, like the athleticism involved on the stage.
Yeah, they're acrobats. So it's acrobats.
Acrobats. That's the word I was missing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, it was very, very daunting and it all happened very fast. And I'm very, very glad I didn't really have time to think much about it because I would have been like, no, I shouldn't do any of these things. But, and then on the other hand, even what I did in comparison to what those incredible artists are doing nightly, and it's their full-time job and they've done it for years and years and years, and they will tell you they're like standing 3 people on top of each other. I'm like, how do you do that? They're like, oh, that's an easy one. Like I don't even have to be on fire or like jumping through. Like, and I'm like, that's so crazy. So it's all relative. I think also this is a new thought I'm having, but during the pandemic I had this wild situation. It was that era where everybody was getting COVID and stepping out of the show, and Broadway was so fragile that they didn't want to cancel the shows. And I, after 6 years, apparently I was the most likely candidate to call to step in for Elder Price at Book of Mormon for a couple of weeks while somebody,
right,
like just what the Wild West of Broadway. That era was so crazy, and you heard about this all the time. People were like flying in on helicopters so they could do the show, and it was just like, it's kind of wild.
Like, was it that serious? I'm just kidding. But
no. Well, no, in my situation, it really wasn't. It was somebody had a vacation or like paternity leave, and they were like, well, we want to give it to him, but like, we don't have any coverage. And they're like, can you come in? I was like, yes, I kind of want to do it. Let's just do it.
Did they pull out your same costumes, or was it?
They did. And they mostly fit. Mostly. There was a shirt or two. We were like, hey, we got a bigger size here. We got.
Listen, we all gained some weight during COVID, or muscle.
Or muscle. You know, I'm not going to divulge which one it was, but something had been gained. Also, I was just a boy. Anyway, so that happened, and it was really last minute. And I was like, this is the hardest job I've ever had. It took me like 6 months just to feel good about being able to do it the first time. Like, there's just no way this is going to go great, but let's try. There's no other choice. And I was so shocked to find how fast it all came back. Our bodies are amazing, you guys. I don't know if you ever find yourself in this situation, but like, I tell everyone, I'm like, if you ever get the chance to do a role that you did years and years and years ago, you have to do it, because you're like, the high that you get from like, my machine is amazing, my brain is incredible, my body is responsive, it's amazing. Had I not had that experience, the idea of just like, okay, now you'll be the lead of Water for Elephants and hang from this tightrope, and like, I don't think I would have thought that I could do it in any way. And so, very, very grateful for COVID opportunities. I know there's one silver lining, huh? We got to find them.
Yes, we have to find those. I mean, I'm grateful for it too, because it brought you back into the Broadway world, Kyle. I mean,
that's so nice. I know. It really, like, it's the dream to be able to do both. And I feel very, very lucky to still have a place to come back to when I am not chasing TV and films. And it really does feel like chasing. That one feels like,
really?
It's like winning the lottery every time. You're like, hey, I got one. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
What's been your favorite TV/film opportunity you've had over the last few years?
Oh, I mean, I'll speak about Welcome to Flatch was kind of just like a dream job for me. I'm the biggest fan of The Office and really like any mockumentary format. Again, my millennial is showing. Yeah.
You're safe here.
Okay. Yeah. We all agree.
You loved Jury Duty kind of vibes.
I love Jury Duty.
I knew it.
It takes it to another level where it's like, oh, now it really is all fake, but it's real for one guy. Yeah. It's so funny. Anyway, so the Paul Feig was one of the creators of The Office, was the showrunner of our show. And just, he's so funny. And like, I know him because have you seen this movie, Heavyweights?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It was our friend Mary's password on all of her social media for years and years. One of the, whatever the name of the camp was.
Oh, hope it still isn't.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Here's my first recommendation. That is such an excellent movie.
All right,
I don't know that it ages super well, but my God, it's funny. Anyway, Paul Feig is in that movie, and I know him from that. I always loved him in that. I've gotten so sidetracked. Yes, Welcome to Flatch was wonderful. Just the type of comedy to be able to look at the camera and just like, look at it and connect with the audience in that way on TV was just so fun. And the cast alone is like, you know, I think I'm friends with a lot of funny people, but being in a room full of people who have made their careers as comedians and stand-ups, it's on one hand kind of exhausting because it's just so funny all the time and everyone is cracking jokes and it's like, geez, I just want to go to bed. So lots of laughs were had. It was in COVID too, shooting most of it. So it was felt very wild, and we were shooting it before there were vaccines. So everybody's showing up in masks, and it had to be such a committed team effort to even make it in the first place. So I could go on and on and on. Welcome to Flatch was such a wonderful experience from top to bottom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the project you were in where you're like lifting weights shirtless in like some gym and then a gal comes in? I'm like Googling you know, your name or YouTubing your name. And that's this clip comes up and I'm like, now what is this?
So that was the Christmas movie era. I did back to back. I did a Hallmark movie and then I did a Christmas film for Peacock. That was the Peacock one. And it was called The Housewives of the North Pole. And it did star Betsy Brandt from Breaking Bad, who played my mom, and Kyle Richards, who played my love interest's mom. It was kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but Christmas movie.
Oh my God.
Christmas neighborhood.
I'm shocked Connor and I haven't watched this. We love Beverly Hills Housewives. So Kyle, another iconic Kyle Richards.
Yes. Love her.
Yes, it was a joy to be the lesser Kyle in that movie. I really enjoyed it. She's a wild lady.
Did you interact with her?
Oh yeah, all the time, every day. She's the best. She's so nice. She was like, come over for dinner anytime. I was like, I don't want to be on TV like that. So thank you. But
yeah.
But maybe one day. Thanks.
That's surreal.
When you open your Instagram DMs, what are the fans most messaging you about? What project are they obsessed with?
Oh, it's mostly Lennox stuff. Like anytime the dog is on the Instagram, people chime in. It's really tender. But to answer your question in a real way, it's probably still Mean Girls stuff, which is,
wow.
You know, I think we all knew that we were a part of something awesome, but I don't think we knew quite the impact and the reach and like the legs that it would have, that people are still listening to it. And that, and you know what's funny? Erica talks about this on your podcast, but I'll repeat it here. There is something very unique about it because of COVID, because COVID is what shut the show down, that a lot of these shows have repeat casts, and Mean Girls, it would have kept going and had cast number six and generations of people who have played these roles. But because it ended when it did, and most of us were still there, it has this sort of time capsule feeling to it, that there was only one Mean Girls Broadway cast and it was this, which, you know, I on some level really appreciate, because we all worked so hard to put our own signature on it, and it was so formative for me and my life and my relationship that, you know, maybe selfishly, I'm glad I don't have to like really share it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's done everywhere. I mean, my fiance just directed like a Mean Girls Junior earlier this year at a children's theater, and just to hear it, it's so funny. And so the music is so catchy.
Yeah.
And they keep working on it too. I know, you know, the West End version has some changes to it too.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things to that too is, you know, this conversation we were having, Sondheim, the work is never done. I think Tina is also a genius in that way, where it's culture is still moving and people are still mean to each other. Let's address how people are mean to each other in this context. So I expect that Mean Girls will kind of always change and kind of adapt to whatever way people are treating each other.
Even the movie version that with Renee Rapp that came out later was changed a little bit too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And like new songs in it. And okay. Yeah. And I will say also, that's another thing that I love about it. Now that young youth productions of it are happening, people will show up at the stage and like, I played Aaron Samuels. I'm like, what's up? You know, it's so cool. Yeah. It's always girls.
Still. Of course.
It's like the one boy in the theater program plays Damien and then they cast the girl as Aaron Samuels. But I love it. I think it's so cool. So sweet.
You were so great in Mean Girls. I don't know how much we talked about it with Erica. I'm truly having like a brain, you know, moment, but I'll just remember your megawatt smile, like you turning around in that scene where she asked what date it is or whatever in like the math class, like so great. The chemistry was unbelievable and you were so funny. Did you ever have any other songs? Like, I know that there was a lot of changes from Out of Town into Under the Broadway production. Did you in particular ever get to sing anything different or more?
Interesting. Most of the singing stayed the same. It's tricky. It was always tricky to like have Aaron Samuels sing, because a lot of what's going on is he's the unseen shark in Jaws, you know? Yeah. He's the thing where Katie's chasing. So it was always a rare thing to get a window into what he was thinking. But those moments were always musicalized and it was always in interaction with the girls. So someone gets hurt. There was a version of it that used to be a lot more of a back and forth duet, but it started to feel, and this was a whole process, actually, like in DC, it was the way that I'm talking about, where it was like really just me and her, Taylor Lautenman, sharing the song. But it sort of changed because it was like, wait, he's revealing too much at this point. We're still needing to chase him. He still needs to be like a little mysterious. So it was always a journey. There used to be a scene where I was folding laundry. It's in the movie, which is funny, like the original movie. There's a scene where he's over tutoring Katie, and she like tries to kiss him or something. Yeah. I don't remember it exactly, but it's in that. And I was like folding my mom's laundry, and I was literally folding a bra on stage, and the whole scene about how I'm like taking care of my mom, doing her laundry. And I think it just read a little saccharine. It was like a little too like, okay, we get that he's sweet. We don't need to like overdo it.
Sure, sure. Oh, that's so funny.
When you look back on the Broadway run of Mean Girls, are there any memories or untold stories that you feel like might come to mind that you want to share now?
Oh, man. I mean, I will never forget. I'll tell this one. And everybody tells the Ashley Park story. You can see Erica's episode. I think she tells it on your podcast. Okay. Everybody tells the Ashley Park and Erica episode in the same spot. Erica's wig got ripped off when they ripped off the Halloween costume. And then at one point it took her shirt too. It's just like mortifying.
Yeah.
Worst nightmare ever. But I'll tell a different one. There was, I will say, I think the most fun show I've ever done, and it's for the wrong reasons, you guys, but you know, that's why we're here. Drama.
Yeah.
We were all invited to attend SNL when Tina hosted, and it was the season finale, and they had a big party, and we were all invited. We were all like best night of our lives. But as the name suggests, that was on a Saturday. And so we had a matinee on Sunday, and that show was one of the funniest things I have ever seen, because it was all these people who had been out till literally 6 in the morning trying to do a show, and all of us knew what was going on, and this the look in people's eyes, just weary, like, please help me, I shouldn't be allowed to be on this stage right now. Just genuinely one of the funniest experiences I've ever had on a stage.
Oh, I love that.
Probably ever will.
Yeah, and I'm sure people like weren't calling out because it was in the midst of that Tony's campaign season. And
no, and also like we got to go to SNL. It was the coolest. Nobody was feeling bad the next day. We were all charged up and feeling awesome. So just needed to take a little nap between shows. That's all.
Weren't you all in a digital short as well during that SNL episode?
Some of us were. Okay. It was actually very, very cute and very fair how they did that. They literally pulled names out of a hat so that it was fair to see who was actually, because they just couldn't take everybody to do it. Our cast was too big. So they literally drew names out of a hat to select who was on there. My name was not selected out of the hat.
Sad.
It's okay.
I feel like we need to get into old friends just a minute here more before we talk dose of drama.
Oh my gosh.
But okay, so for the listeners who haven't gotten a chance to see you in it yet, are you comfortable saying what songs you're performing in it, or do you want it to be a surprise for when they come?
Oh, that's sweet. No, I think it's like in the program, so you could probably look it up. I get to sing kind of like the Sondheim tenor sampler platter, which is really, really, really wonderful for me. It's all these dream roles that I've either played or have been trying to play for years and years. So I get to be Tony in West Side Story. I get to sing Agony. I get to play Henrik in all the Little Night Music stuff.
The Little Night Music bits hit for me. I was like, wait, is it time for a revival of this too?
I mean, I'm like, let's get Bernadette to do it also. Yeah. You know what I mean? We'll just continue that cycle. Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm in. Let's do it. You know, there's so many Sondheim shows that there are just gaps sometimes. A Little Night Music was one of them for me. I'm like, I think it actually might be my favorite one now. How did I miss it all these years? I'm also like, where's the movie? Every Sondheim show has a movie.
I believe there was a movie.
Am I just wrong? Wow.
But I don't think anyone like talks about it. And I think it had like a star in it. I want to say it was like an 80s situation.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Thunderbolts.
I've never seen it.
What is it?
The Air One Strawberry.
The Air One Strawberry. And then the Little Night Music.
Yeah, oh,
God.
Exactly.
Thank God for this podcast. My weekend is booked. Yeah, no, it's so wonderful. And I love singing those songs. What else do I do? Follies. We sing Waiting for the Girls. And then what's really fun is there's a couple arrangements of songs that have been made into group numbers that are just so wonderful. We do this. My favorite song in the show that we do is this group version of Being Alive. I don't think it's giving away much, but it is just a beautiful, beautiful arrangement. And it's really sweet. I like doing it every night.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the cast is just crazy. I mean, it, like I said, it's like a Marvel Cinematic Universe moment where like this crossover of all these people, but it truly took my breath away. I mean, admittedly, I was a little sleep deprived, hungover when I did come see it.
Well, SNL was the night before, so you know, right. What can you do?
And it was a schmatinee. It was a Sunday situation here. So no, it was so good. I loved that Being Alive moment. You could do Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
In Company.
Dream role.
Didn't we say Erica should be Bobby?
Isn't that
funny? I think we told her that.
But okay, was this before the revival?
It had played like a week or two.
Okay, so it was on, yeah, on front of my. I was like, did we create that revival where Bobby was a lady? Yeah, thank you. It is a dream role. Marry Me a Little is one of my favorite songs of all time. And yeah, it's up there. Company generally, like honestly, any role. I don't know if you guys are having this experience, but the older that I'm getting, the more I get Sondheim songs.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, oh, that's what that's about. And by the way, like, we were always that way. I was that guy in high school who was like, the choice may have been mistaken, but the choosing was not, you know, like it was my prophecy of my tome. I was learning about life, but even more, right. I'm like, oh my gosh, everything was so dead on.
Oh yeah. I can remember quoting Into the Woods to Connor when we were like 16 and like being like, I know things now. Like, it's like,
it's always Into the Woods. Real. It's all, cause we didn't, it is. We didn't get company. None of us were married. Nobody really understood anything. Into the Woods, if it's approachable.
Oh, for sure. Well, Follies for me, I know everyone says that you connect more and more and more and more with it as you age, but I saw when they did that Follies at Carnegie Hall last summer, I saw it. And I was like sitting there sobbing the entire time, being like, my youth is gone. The entire life is gone.
Connor, it's not. Like, you're still young.
It's not.
We are still young. We're still young.
We are. I think Follies could be the next Sondheim revival.
It's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's just do them all.
I know. And you could totally be in it.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Into the microphone. Just a little louder.
I'll see, like, for the Follies revival. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay,
there
wait,
we
so
go.
Yeah, would you, you've done, I'm trying to think, you haven't done any revivals, right?
No, not for that. Okay. Actually, it never was on stage, but there was one of my early jobs was a revival that was really, really trying to come in of Brigadoon. Oh. I had to play Charlie Dalrymple, but you know, now it's Schmigadoon all the way. It's right. A little bit too much of a joke, perhaps, but yeah. I do love that score, and I like that one. That was, I think, one of the only revivals that I've actually worked on.
Yeah.
For a while there, that was very intentional. I was like, no, new musicals, let's do it where my heart is. But more and more, I'm like, let's do everything. It's all great.
I know. Well, hearing your voice do these Sondheim songs, I mean, you really can do it all. And it's an amazing performance. And everyone obviously needs to go to see you, but everyone is firing on all cylinders. I know Connor is obsessed with, what's his name, Jacob Dickey? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's so
I love Jacob Dickey.
Oh, and talented.
Yeah. He can be both.
Uh-huh.
You're right.
So wonderful. I didn't know him. Well, we have obviously so many mutual friends, but he and I are little buddy chums backstage. We sit next to each other in the dressing room. I will say, I think that is one of my favorite things about old friends is just this cast, because they're all dummies. Like, none of these people are used to being like group singers. And so we all have to do it. I mean that in like the most homage-y of terms. Like, all of these people are so incredible, but they're used to standing on zero and singing their hearts out as their solo, as they should, as they deserve. And so it's so funny to check in every night and just like, we just laugh the entire show. It's so wonderful. Jacob Diggie is prime among those people.
I saw you and Beth Lovell chummy on stage as well, maybe in like the curtain call moment.
Yes, I am the show with Beth. We help each other remember our lyrics, because old friends gets a little tricky there. There's some repeat lyrics that then change, and it occasionally catches us off guard at the end of the show. So we've got a system now that is very fun.
Now, can we expect any more books, any more original music coming down?
Oh my gosh, not much on the music front. That's so funny about the books. That's like a hot topic. I just finished the first draft of something today. Ooh. I literally can't talk about it because I haven't even read it since I finished it, quote unquote. But there might be more stuff coming.
You've had a productive day.
I love it.
It's been a very productive day. Like I said, things are busy, but also like that busy zone, it starts to be a little addictive. Where you're like, yeah, I can get it all done.
I completely agree. Completely
you know
agree.
How it is.
I have to just mention, I loved your album. I've been listening to it this week just in preparation for chatting with you. And I mean, like I said, you can sing anything. Like hearing you do the classic old friends, but then this like more contemporary stuff. You have such a beautiful voice, Kyle.
Thank you. Oh my God. Can I come on this podcast every week and you guys could just be nice to me?
Wait, I would love to have you and Eric on sometime. Wouldn't that be fun?
It'll be very loud. We talk over each other. It'll be very, it'll be very unproductive. We actually should do that. That sounds really fun.
That'd be so fun.
Thank you for saying that. That's very sweet. That whole thing came out of COVID and just like, you know, I had been doing Mean Girls for 2 years at that point and performing every day. And then all of a sudden, all of that was gone. And I was not prepared for how I would like lose my mind in that way. And so it's very kind that you listen to it. I really just put it out there because I had made it. I was like, I don't know if anyone will like this, but I liked it and it filled my time and gave me meaning for the last year. So
of course.
Thank you.
You know, it kind of reminded me of, and I know we mentioned him earlier, but it kind of reminded me of Gavin Creel's album Quiet. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, yeah. Very, very familiar. And, you know, it was so, it's like Gavin was one of the first people I played this album for, because he, in that same time, was very, very on his writing experience. He was writing Walk On Through, his one-man show. Is it called, termed a one-man show? I suppose there were a couple actors in it.
There were a couple people in it, but I would say it was like mostly a solo.
Yeah. Supported by Ryan Vasquez and Sasha Allen. Yeah. those newcomers. So he had that in him as well as a writer, and it was very, very beneficial for me to share that with him.
Oh, that's really special. Well, we could talk to you all day.
I know. It's been like 10 minutes, right?
I know. But we'll have you back with Erica, of course. But before we say goodbye, Kyle, we do like to end on a dose of drama.
Yes.
It could be a recommendation. I know we've been dropping little nuggets here and there throughout this episode. All three of us will share. Connor, do you have anything to kick us off?
I do. Well, I guess I have this on my mind because we, you know, Erica's been, you know, the fourth unseen guest on the show. She's been, you know, with us spiritually, but
she's the fifth girl, like in Sex and the City. The city is the fifth girl.
literally that Just in Time was amazing. I went into it being like, okay, another bio musical, we have a handful every year or whatever. This is done so well, between the direction and the staging is fabulous, and you've never seen Jonathan Groff better. I have to say, it is his best ever.
I'm
like obsessed.
It is hard to say that because the man has done so many wonderful roles, but I kind of agree with you. It's kind of Jonathan being the most Jonathan that he's ever been, perhaps. And so it's, I'm right there with you. So this is kind of tragic. We've been on the same schedule for weeks and weeks and weeks. The only show that I could see, much like Gray, was the first preview. So I have not even seen the final version of it, but I can't tell you even their first preview, I was blown away. And my wife's only in act two, so it's not a super biased opinion. You know, like it really genuinely is so good. Couldn't agree more.
It's so good. Well, and Erica's amazing too. And I feel like her character gets a lot of really good emotional material that's also really funny. She looks amazing. She sounds amazing. Oh my God. Everyone has to go see Just in Time for all the reasons I mentioned.
Is that an open run? Because I'm not going to be back in the city till the end of June. Okay.
Oh, it'll definitely be here past June. Definitely.
Good.
We'll go together because I'll be done.
There we go. Yeah. Although you did just get a final extension.
I know. June 29th is our final show.
Is it like a final extension, or is it like a Has Sleep No More extended for a year until it finally?
You know, it's actually funny. I assume that it's final because they are stressing final, but I imagine they don't necessarily tell us that information. I believe it is the final because I believe people have, some of our cast have other stuff to run off to, but we extended, which is very, very exciting.
Yes,
that's awesome. Dylan, what's your dose?
Yes. Okay, my dose of drama. I don't really listen to a lot of new music. I've noticed I find myself really like always listening to the same things over and over and over again. But I recently discovered this artist, Role Model. Are you familiar, Kyle? Or does anybody know?
Wait, I feel like I've seen that on my Spotify.
Yes, he has that song Sally When the Wine Runs Out. It's like, it's very popular.
Know. Did you tell me about them, Dylan? Or did I hear about it from somebody else?
It's possible I did, but I'm loving his vibe, his music and everything. And he has a really cool album out called Kansas Anymore, The Longest Goodbye. And it's a reference to We're Not in Kansas Anymore. It's really great. Yeah, it's kind of country pop. I don't know. The summer makes me feel that kind of way, even though I'm not into country like at all. But
okay, I just saved it. I'm going to listen to it right after this.
I don't know if it's if it'll be your vibe, but you could try something new. You know?
Look, I'm so all over the place music-wise. I'm sure that it is my vibe. I listen to everything.
You'll at least like Sally When the Wine Runs Out. It's a bop. I think it's in the early running for Song of the Summer.
Oh, done.
Easy. Okay. Easy.
Kyle, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. Okay, I'm going to do two. I couldn't decide.
Yeah, okay.
One is so short and it's so dumb. So we've just been talking a lot about being millennials, so I'll share it. Somebody just sent me this thing on YouTube. I'll send you boys the link. Are you a fan of the Goofy movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're that age.
Yeah.
Somebody just sent me this on YouTube. Somebody has made a 3D version of the Powerline concert that you can play, and it is animated in such a way that Powerline is dancing around you. And I didn't know YouTube can do this, but you can like 360 move it if you just click on the screen. I'm sending it to you. It's so dumb,
That's
but it's
amazing.
like I was like laughing for like 5 minutes. It's like the most enjoyable. And like the girls are dancing around you, and like the scene is still happening because it's the audio from the movie. It's so dumb.
Oh,
I love
I need
it.
them to do that with the scene from the Extremely Goofy Movie where they do the disco dancing scene
Oh my God, yes,
because
of
that was
course.
everything. Yeah.
This is the way it's going. All of our Disney movies will be 3D VR experiences. We'll just like
I'm
live in these
sure.
worlds. Okay, and then
Okay, that's a good
the
first
other
one.
one is
Yeah.
also sort of kids related. I don't know when the last time you checked in with a series of unfortunate events. Have you
Oh,
ever?
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Obsessed back in the day, but yeah.
I just started reading again because my friend asked me to be on her podcast. Oh, okay, so there's three. My friend's podcast is called Required Reading. And what she does is you reread books from your
Fun.
childhood and come on the thing and talk about it. This is my friend Erin Bowles from Welcome to Fletch. She's got a wonderful podcast. So she's like, come on it. And what book do you want to do? I was like, what about this one? And so I'm rereading it and it kills me. It is so funny and so enjoyable and nostalgic and like simple and good and perfect for
Oh.
rainy New York weather like we have right now.
Which are you doing the bad beginning? Like, which one
I
did you
started
do?
with Bad Beginning. It was
Okay.
just right from the get. But I remember it like they're all kind of blurring together. So I'm like, is this the one with the leeches or is this the one with the
Oh,
I don't think it
no,
is,
it's
but
not. That's the third one, I think.
the
Oh, the
white
wide
window.
window.
Yes, because the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, those books were huge for us. Like, I was absolutely obsessed with them. I feel like it ended in kind of an odd way. Wasn't the last book them on an, not to spoil, on an island?
Here's the thing. I was just gonna say this. There's so many more than I thought there were. I'm questioning whether I actually read all of them.
Yeah.
So by the time you have Erica and I on, I'll have read all of them and I can inform you if they're on an island or not.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. Thank you
Yes,
so much.
happily.
Oh, that's awesome. I love nostalgic stuff, so I appreciate these doses of drama.
Yeah, but I realize there's a theme, and the theme is millennial nostalgia on these doses of
Yes.
drama.
Oh, I love it. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. We just adore you, and this has been such a fun conversation. Everybody's got to see you in Old Friends through June 29th. And check out all of, just go to your Instagram at KA Selig and check out the link because that's where you can find the stuff to your book and your music and everything.
Yes.
And they definitely have to follow you as well, for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of dog content, but she's a really cute dog, so check it out. Thank you for having me on. This is so wonderful. I love your podcast and congrats on your success in iHeartRadio and thanks for having me. It's so fun.
Thank you. That means the world. We really, really appreciate your time. And we'll have to connect when I'm back in the city and maybe we'll see just in time.
I'm serious. Let's go. I know somebody in the show who will set up tickets probably.
Done. While everyone is following Kyle, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I am at Dylan McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.